Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Elizabeth Hamilton with my co-host,
Katie Eastman,
with the Best Ever You show. We still don't have DB on the line just yet. We're sort of hoping that he actually shows up. I'm not sure. I think I need to do a better job, Katie, of telling everybody 1 p.m. Eastern time.
Yeah, you know, that's probably a good idea.
He might still be asleep for all we know. I don't know. So we may have to reschedule. We have no idea. But this is pretty funny. Both of us are kind of nervous.
I know. This is the hockey hunk. This is the guy from The Cutting Edge that, you know, this
hunk.
Is the movie.
You can't say the hunk.
Oh, yeah, the hunk. You know, hey, I'm 50. We use the word hunk. We don't use the word hottie yet, you know. I mean, I'm just more comfortable with the word hunk.
Yeah, I'm not sure I should give you his email. He'll probably, last week, like a few weeks ago, you were the flasher. You flashed the whole airport with your skirt. I think your skirt was tucked ever so gently into your nylon or something. That was funny. You're walking through the airport with your skirt tucked into your nylon. So that's pretty cool. And we're just, so that's the flasher part of you. And this week, it's kind of like the stalker part of you.
I know.
I get to know you really well.
Yeah, I know. What can I say? You know, you turn 50 and your true self comes right out of the woodwork. You know, you find all of your faults.
Roll a roll of duct tape around your house and door so you can't get out or something. I don't know. A little scared. No.
You got to laugh at yourself because life can just get too darn serious. And so you got to have things to laugh about. And what do you do? You know, you're walking up the escalator, and someone taps you on the shoulder and says you've been flashed in the airport. You either laugh, you certainly can't cry, and you just move on because, you know, life's full of all those things. And you know, yes, I am true confessing that D.B. Sweeney has been I have been stalking him through my fantasy world for years since I saw Cutting Edge, and I'm sure I am not alone. True confessions out there, women. You too, DVR, his movie, I'm sure. And it's not just about him. It's just a great, great movie, and I love Moira Kelly in it. And it's got everything life has, you know. It's got goals. It's got challenges. It's got romance,
You really are a stalker. You're scaring me.
I know.
Okay. That movie came out in like 1992. That was a great movie. I must fess up. I too love D.B. Sweeney. But between the two of us, you know that girlfriend code when one person has like a bigger crush than the other one, so the one girlfriend has to back down.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get. This is your free moment. This is your free pass.
Oh, good. Good,
yeah.
Good.
But
really
if John Cusack ever comes along, you have to back off.
Oh, man.
He's
you
my
know,
celebrity husband.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a really good one, too. I really like him as well. But, yeah, okay, I'll give you that one. I'll take this one.
Okay, all right.
and you know, I just finished watching his new movie, Two Tickets to Paradise, and it is awesome.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah, it really was. It's won, it's won every film festival from, you know, all throughout the Midwest and every. I mean, he's just, it's a good movie. DB was the screenwriter, the director, the producer. He acted in it. And his buddies came along, it looks like, and helped him, John McGinley, Ed Harris, and Moira Kelly.
Yeah, it looked like a really... I can't wait to hear from him about the dialogue that went on and how much of it was ad-lib, because it is a bromance movie, and the guys have the greatest lines, and it's really well done. But it also is a movie that shows the thoughtfulness of men, and a lot of times that doesn't happen. And I really liked the complexity of the characters. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I'm glad you can't give away the movie and everything without people watching it. But yeah, they did make them human, I mean.
Yeah. And they made it enjoyable. It's funny. It's unpredictable. And the characters are not just your average characters. They really are complex. And they must have had a blast making this movie. I totally recommend it to people. It's great. I got it on Netflix, and it's really a good movie.
Yeah, I got a kick out of them. I don't know how they did this either. We were going to ask him if he calls in here with 55 minutes remaining. We're going to go on for 50 minutes without him on the phone.
Well, we can talk about anything, you know.
What'd you say?
I said we can talk about anything.
We can make up anything. Yeah, it's our show, so we can do what we want. But in his movie, which is Two Tickets to Paradise, which I pulled up, I learned, Katie, that Blog Talk Radio has a chat window, so people can actually chat with us while we're on the air.
No one is,
but we're good. One more thing I have to click on and get distracted by. But anyway, I put his movie in the chat area, and it's twotickets2paradisemovie.com. Kind of a long web address there, but it's twotickets2paradisemovie.com. And it actually came out a few years ago, but I think in the spirit of making your own movie and doing everything and promoting it and marketing it and distributing it and all the things that go with making a movie, it's been a process, it looks like.
Yeah.
Make the movie
it sounds like it. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, but it's winning awards, and it's out there. It was on Showtime, and it's just a great movie.
I also noticed he's on the event now.
Yeah, he does. I mean, he's out there. He's everywhere. I followed him a long time ago when he was on, like, The Cutting Edge, the movies, you know, and Fire in the Sky is one of my favorite movies and my dad's favorite movies, too. Mm-hmm. But he also looks like he's a founding member of the Blank Theater in Los Angeles, which does quite a number of productions out there in the Los Angeles areas as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's kind of funny, Katie. You're in love with him, and he stood you up. I'm going to blame this on you.
Jeez. You know, story of my life.
Shut up, baby.
What can I say? My closest moment, my major crush, and he doesn't show up. Oh, well. But,
He must have something going on.
Yeah, I know. I can still see him on TV now because, you know, he's still there. So that's good to know.
Yeah, I'm still duct taping you and not allowing you on airplanes to Los Angeles for a while, I think. Just a roll of duct tape politely placed on the front of your door.
Well, you know, it is really been fun talking to these celebrities on the phone because, of course, I've never been 5 feet in front of anybody who's famous. So I am just enjoying so much the experience of talking to these folks and learning who they really are and not just their screen persona. So, you know, if he were here, I would ask him a bunch of questions about, you know, why this film, you know, what made you want to say what you said and why. And it's really been fun doing the radio show and asking these questions of these folks who you just really don't know until you talk to them one-on-one like this.
Yeah.
And
well, I was going to add to what you're saying and the interview we did with him on besteveryou.com. And I love his answers to some of the questions I asked. How did you get to where you are today? Keep getting up off the mat. Have you ever been fired once? But the guy didn't do it to his face. There's just funny stuff, you know. And I always ask this question of everybody I interview. If you won the lotto, what would you do? Just to see if people are real or not, you know. And he said he would pay off debts and move his mom into a bigger place. And, you know, just he seems like he's a pretty genuinely nice guy.
Nice guy.
He's not all caught up in all the Hollywood snottiness and things like that, if there is such a thing.
Yeah. Well, hey, I have an idea. Since he's not here, why don't we ask him?
Oh, wait,
good.
Hang on one second. He was testing us to see if we're okay to be on the radio with, I think.
Yeah.
Hold on. Are you there? TV? Or is this another caller? It's in the 407 area code.
This is Sandra. How are you, Elizabeth?
Oh, hi, Sandra. How are you? Okay.
We thought it
might be him calling in. But it's Sandra. Hi.
How you doing?
Good. How are you? Welcome to our show.
I'm all right.
Good.
Thank you.
Go ahead. And this is Sandra from Florida calling in. And you're calling in to join our show. How nice. But hang on. I'm gonna back up a second. And Katie, what was your idea?
Well, my idea was why don't we ask each other these questions you asked him? I'd be curious what your answers would be or what other people would call in and answer.
That's a good idea. Absolutely. Sandra, you can play along, okay?
Okay.
All right. Were you calling to talk to
Dee Sweeney? I didn't hear the question, though.
What'd you say?
I didn't hear the question, or what was it? Because I just dialed in. So.
Yeah. Well, we're going to make up questions and ask each other questions, I guess. Hang on one second.
Oh, okay.
All right, Katie.
Okay. All right. So you asked him the question, how did you get to where you are today? So, Elizabeth, how did you get to Best Ever You today?
A lot of hard work. Really, seriously, a lot of hard work. A lot of people telling me you can't do that. That's, what are you doing? What a dumb idea. You got to be kidding me. Don't do that. That's not a good direction. Go get a real job. All those things. Just a lot of putting your head to doing something and doing it.
Good. That's a great answer. And you know what? Don't you just love people like that who love to tell you what you can't do instead of encouraging you with what you can do?
It's fascinating. I think
yeah,
a lot of people in the creative industry experience that. That's like somebody telling you when you're 10 years old not to be a professional baseball player because you can't do that. That's a pipe dream.
Yep, yep.
Or you can't be an actor.
Right, right, exactly. My mentor was Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. And one day I asked her the question, what do you say to people who tell you you can't do something because it's never been done before? And all she did was stare at me. That's all she did. She just stared at me, this, like, glowering stare that said, you are even asking me that question. And it was so powerful. Without words, she said, that is absolutely ridiculous. So I learned from my mentor long, long time ago. It's like when people say those things, if you know in your heart what you're doing is right, you just forget it.
Do you know what I do when people tell me I can't do something? I usually stop and kind of reverse it back on them. And it's really dumb, but sometimes I have a conversation with them about what's going on in their life to kind of get to the heart of what they aren't doing that they wish that they were doing.
Yes.
That response comes out of their mouth.
Yep, yep, that's
usually
great.
Usually when somebody's telling you you can't do something, it's because they've tried to do something or haven't tried to do something or, you know, or haven't followed a dream or so forth, and they're really putting you down. It's very, very strange. You're the doctor of the bunch. But I'm sure you know people who do that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Whenever anybody wants to put you down, it's really all about them. It's not about you.
Generally, I think.
That said, there's oftentimes something we can learn from what they're saying. So that's what I always do. When someone says something like that, I step back, and the first question I ask myself is, what can I learn about that? So when Elizabeth glowered at me, I said, okay, I have something to learn from this. And I did. I had to really just kind of say, okay, well, when someone makes a suggestion to me that I don't quite like and I feel like I'm being put down, then what do I need to learn? So that's been really helpful to me.
Yeah.
So
Sandra.
Cool. Yeah.
Are you there?
Hello?
Yeah, well,
yes,
I thought maybe I could jump
in and say something. When I was studying theater as a teenager right out of high school, went to college, and I would come home with different things, I really didn't get support from my own family. They would they wouldn't make fun of me or anything, but the things that I would tell them about what I was learning, and especially in speech class, because they teach you how to speak. As an actor, especially in theater, I wasn't getting any support from them at all, so I kind of, you know, went on my own way dealing with it by myself, basically. And I don't know if many other people experience, the same thing that I have, but that's kind of hurtful. But I think it made me stronger.
Mm-hmm.
To be able
yep.
to go out there and actually, you know, go for something as difficult as what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So, Katie, what about you? Throwing the question back on you, how did you get to where you are today?
okay. Oh, boy, that's a great question. I think, you know, someone once told me that life is about the books you read and the people you meet. And I really love that because that is where I've gotten a lot of my wisdom and a lot of my oomph and a lot of what gets me up and out of bed in the morning and has allowed me to listen to those things that people have said that have tried to dissuade me from doing things I know to be right. I have read some great books, and I've also met some really cool people like Kubler-Ross, like my buddy Jason, who was a kid who I knew when he was young and who struggled with something really challenging and taught me to never, never, never give up. And so yeah. I think that that's probably what I would say is the books I've read and the people I've met who have seen what's inside of me that sometimes I don't always see.
All right. So the next question we asked him in the on the besteveryou.com interview was, have you ever been fired?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, that I can answer. Yeah.
Have you ever been fired?
Oh, yeah, that's the worst, isn't it? Yeah, I was when I was in college, I was teaching blind kids how to swim for the Special Olympics. And unfortunately, one of them got inside the pool after I'd closed it up. And because I was held responsible, I was fired from it. And it was a very, very painful experience, very young, but I learned something, you know. You gotta check up on everything just when you think something's right. Check again and make sure. And sometimes you gotta take the hit, even though you didn't do feel like you did anything wrong. Sometimes you just gotta take the hit. And I learned a lot of good lessons from that. But oh, it is awful.
Yeah.
Really painful.
Being fired.
So yeah.
Sandra, have you ever been fired?
Me?
Uh-huh.
No, unfortunately. Fortunately, I should say.
Unfortunately, fortunately, you're on the fence there. Do I have to answer
I'm
this?
Thankful for that.
Yeah,
no, I'm
you
not.
Have to answer it. Come
oh,
on, Trufet.
Yes, I've been fired. Do you know
yeah.
what I've been fired for?
What?
I got fired from TCBY in college for filling the ice cream cones too full.
Oh, God. Oh, don't you hate it?
I'm serious.
Oh, my goodness.
I was absolutely mortified that I would have to hand out hollow ice cream cones. You know how they come? The soft serve comes out of the machine and they swirl it around?
Yeah.
These guys would fill the middle of the ice cream, wouldn't fill the middle of the ice cream cone. So it would be hollow.
Oh,
so it wasn't a dish of ice cream or the cone filled with ice cream. It was just, ugh. And so I insisted on every, you know, really overloading the ice cream. And I really have been written up, three times and fired.
Hey, I tell you what, I worked at Howard Johnson's, and let me tell you, there were so many fingers put in that ice cream and in people's lips. Ew. There are so many people out there that should be fired.
Yeah, that's a whole nother call, probably. Okay, what else did I ask him? Let's see. What are your – I don't know if these are good questions, reading them back, but whatever. What are your real passions? And he answered, my passions are my family, my work, and my friends.
Yeah, I think those are great passions. Yeah, those are really nice passions. So ask a funny one. What would the funny question be?
Let's see. What should I ask him? I know, I kind of think the lotto. I don't think I asked him too much that was funny. But I asked, if you won the lotto, what would you do? And he
Boy,
wrote,
that's a
I would,
good one.
He said, I would pay off debts and move my mom into a bigger place.
That's good. I wonder what other people would do. That's a
what
great question.
What would you do, Sandra? If you won the lotto, what would you do?
I would definitely help my family out, and then I would my favorite charities, especially St. Jude. I've been wanting to do that, and eventually know that I will, but that would be one of the main things, my family, St. Jude, my favorite charities.
Yeah. How about you, Katie? What would you do?
Well, first of all, my family. I'd support my family in whatever way we needed it, and they needed it, my mom, my family. But then I would absolutely help my charity. That's what I would do. Just like Sandy, I would say that.
You're so politically correct. You know,
yeah, but
I'm inclined to give an answer like shop, Shop Till
That would
off.
Also be there, too.
Oh, yeah. That would come toward the end, definitely. Oh, yeah.
Buy a new car. But, you know, I'm thinking I have four kids to put through college. A lottery
yeah.
is about what
yeah.
I need to win.
Yeah. So what would you buy? That's a good
Shoes.
Shoes.
You're like,
we imagine that. Lottery winner, $26 million. Shoes.
All right, so now I'm the stalker. You are now Imelda, okay? That is your nickname for today, Imelda Marcos.
I don't know about that, but, yeah, I am definitely a shoe girl. You're definitely a stalker, though.
I know.
I've emailed him a few times to see maybe if I think we probably have a time goof, which is okay. We'll
yep.
just keep talking and
okay.
whatever.
All right.
But I can't get over how funny it was getting on the phone because we both were, like, almost near pass-out mode of, like, the flutters and the nervousness and everything. This is the first – we've been pretty nervous before, but this was real nerves.
Yeah, this was definitely real
They're gone
nerves.
Now. I'm good. Unless he
yeah.
unless he does call, and then they'll all come back up again. But it's pretty funny.
Well, that's
so,
the nice thing about Blog Talk Radio. We can always do it again.
Yeah, exactly. We can even delete this if we need to.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's kind of fun. I don't think there's anything to delete it. But his movie again is Two Tickets to Paradise. You can get it at where'd you buy it? Did you say Netflix?
Well, actually I was wrong. I bought it on iTunes.
Oh,
and,
okay.
It's you can download it off iTunes, but I think you can also get it on Netflix. But
yeah.
Talk about his other movie because I didn't get to see that one, and I'm really interested in the science fiction part of it.
The Fire in the Sky.
Yeah, talk. That's a really cool idea.
Yeah, let me hang on. Let me pull this up on the computer. You guys talk for a minute.
Okay. So Sandy, you're an actress.
Well, I want to be actress. Yeah.
And you're in Florida?
Yes, Orlando, Florida.
Oh, awesome. What kind of acting do you like to do? Are you theater or?
I like both. I'm a method actor.
Oh, you're a method actor. Okay.
Yeah, and I like both, but I haven't had the opportunity to work in theater as of yet. But hopefully this weekend I'm going to be auditioning for a theater play.
Uh-huh. What's your favorite? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite part that you've ever played in the past? Anything that you've really
well,
enjoyed?
Well, I did a very low-budget independent film, and
mm-hmm.
I played the mother in that film, particularly like comedy. I would rather,
uh-huh.
you know, work as a dramatic actress, but I haven't had the opportunity yet.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And
neat.
Basically, yeah, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't
That's
done
not
much.
All. You're best ever used biggest fan. We love you. In every way.
Well, thank you very much.
You are just, well, you're just a lovely human being. You are one of the kindest, most gentlest people I know. And you're always there, and you're always there to wish people a happy birthday and a good day, and you're cheering people on, and you're just a true supporter of women. And that's
thank
a
you.
neat
I love
quality
best
to have.
You.
That's important.
That's a wonderful sight.
Thank you.
But Elizabeth, you're an actress too, though.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. You know, I always say you get one shot at life, and there's no, you know, you don't get to go back and redo anything. And I don't know that I would, at all, really. But it gets harder to be an actress when you creep up into your 40s and you have four kids and you don't live in Los Angeles, you know, and all these things. And so, yeah, I mean, I dabble in acting, but it's mostly what my family allows. And what comes my way. You know, I do a lot of commercials more than anything.
Yeah.
And I've been doing commercials since I was little. And, you know, the one thing you learn while you – I've learned anyways, you dream about being an actress and you dream about doing this and that, but in my life I've really never taken any major steps to actually do that.
Yeah.
I didn't go down that
path. It's not
path.
Easy, though. It's not easy, especially now, you know, you well, for a long time you've been a mother, you know, you have like your husband, you have your family life. It can be very, very difficult, and rejection is the hardest part of it all.
Yeah, and I didn't take, that's what stopped me when I was younger. I'm like, oh, I better not do this because this really is too harsh. And what you learn when you get older is it's not about you, it's about the part. And, you know, if they're looking
exactly.
for somebody who's 6 foot two and blonde and you're 5 foot two and, you know, a brunette, that's not the right part for you. And it's not about you, it's about what they're casting for and so forth. And once you learn that, which I had not learned at a younger age, your feelings don't get so out of whack and bent out of shape all the time. But
and you feel insecure and everything. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I used to, you know, walk around with the same thing. You know, what's wrong with me? Oh my God, I'm too fat. I'm too short. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too, you know, and it's really not about that. You just have to kind of stay true to who you are, and if you fit the part, you'll get cast. And if you know, I think there's a little bit of luck. There's a little luck in who you know
right.
also in there too. I swear. But
A lot of it is timing.
Yeah.
I think too. You know, I look back at some of these people who are movie stars, and you see that they've roomed with somebody else famous, or they're best friends with somebody. You know, there's some. You know, it's not all. You know, hard work. There's a little bit of who you know. There's a ton of hard work, but there's definitely. Friendships and so forth, it appears to me. But anyway, I got Fire in the Sky on the computer and just reading it. This is one of my favorite movies. It's based on an alleged real-life extraterrestrial encounter. It's called Fire in the Sky. It's a 1993 movie. It was directed by Robert Lieberman and written by Travis Walton from his book, The Walton Experience. And it's a Tracy Torme screenplay. And basically it's about D.B. Sweeney plays I'll just read it. It says, on November 5th, 1975, near Snowflake, Arizona, logger Travis Walton, played by D.B. Sweeney, becomes entangled in an alien abduction against his will. And that's the movie goes on from there.
Huh.
But he returns,
so this
and
is
he's
a...
been gone. And what'd you say?
So this is a true story?
It's an alleged true story, yeah. 5 days later, Walton is found alive at a gas station, naked, dehydrated, and incoherent. During a welcome home party thrown by his friends and family, Walton suffers a paranoid delusion as he recounts a flashback of the abduction by the extraterrestrials aboard the UFO. And,
oh, wow.
I don't know, I guess the man who wrote it swears by it. And it's one of my dad's just absolute favorite movies. He just
wow, it sounds
loves
creative. It
yeah.
really does. Huh.
Yeah.
And very gutsy to do.
Yeah. But there's some, you know, aside from DB, James Garner's in it, Peter Berg, there's some pretty neat stars that were in the movie. Do you remember that movie, Sandra?
Which one? The
Fire in the Sky?
Fire in the Sky.
I'll have to grab it and rent it then.
But you know what? There are UFOs there, and you know, people, these directors and people in the business, they take true accounts, actually.
Yeah.
And that's how,
all over
you know.
The news today, actually. Did you see that, Katie?
No.
Yeah, UFO sightings near nuclear sites for the... armed forces and so forth. It's all over the news on CNN today.
Oh, wow.
Who knows? Huh? Do, 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 do. No.
Wow.
So, Katie.
Yeah.
What else are you doing with your day today?
Okay. What am I doing today? I have a wonderful conversation that I'm going to do with someone in about an hour. About a possible collaboration, which I'm very excited about. Then I'm going to do the mom thing because I am a dancer's mom, and the mom thing starts when she gets off the bus and we have to do the usual, okay, where does what go what? You know, where do we put things away, and then when do we get ready for dance class? And I'll tell you, I don't know if there are any other dancer moms out there. If you've mastered that ballet bun, more power to you.
I can do a ballet bun. Do you need one?
That thing is so hard to do. Her hair is so thin, and you know, there. I tell you what, it's like ballet is really, really stringent. You have to make sure they look right and they're dressed right, which I love about it because it teaches them some really good discipline. But hey, I never learned that, so I'm at a real disadvantage trying to get her ready and stuff, and I'm not used to being that strict. So. It's a challenge. I start getting her ready about a half an hour before she has to go to dance. More for me than for her. Yeah, you guys are really at an advantage in that hockey, you just throw the equipment in the car and go. Or baseball or any of the other things you guys are doing. Hello?
Elizabeth?
Did we lose Elizabeth?
What happened to Elizabeth?
I don't know. This happened to us. Sandra, this happened to us last week.
That was so fun. I love that. I think I needed his phone. Do you think it was
what
me
happened?
Last week and not really Michael and he took the fall?
Yeah.
Is she not there? Is she there?
No, I'm here. My phone
now.
Says searching and then just hangs up. You know, we got this phone at one of those discount stores, and it was too good of a price for, like, 8 phones, you know? We're like, oh, great, we'll have 8 phones. We'll never lose them. We'll find them. They won't be in the couch. They won't be. I'll tell you, all 8 phones are always missing.
Oh, my goodness.
We find, you know, the dog carries around the phones.
Oh, yeah.
It's that
oh,
bad
yeah.
now.
Well, did you hear the last part of what she said about the
No,
about
what did you say about the bun?
I said, you guys are so lucky because you're 4 boys, all the sports. You just throw the equipment in the back of the car. You don't have to worry about what they look like or how clean they are.
Oh, yeah, boys are so easy. They, you know, the only thing that they do that really at about age 14, 15 drives you up a wall?
What?
They start discovering cologne.
Oh, yuck.
Oh, it's the worst.
Oh, my God.
The worst. I mean, I won't say the brand, but I'm sure everybody knows the 3 letters. Love it. Love it in a single scent, but my child has decided that he needs each scent on each part of his body. So he comes out of that shower, and I swear to God, I start sneezing and need an allergy pill.
Oh, my
and,
goodness.
I mean, it is the most profound. And then he takes the body cologne after the shower with the shampoo, soap, face wash, whatever. And, oh, wow.
Hot children, but it must be that time maybe girls, maybe they're becoming interested in girls. And
oh, yeah.
Smell good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It just goes beyond smelling, though. Wow.
I think the smell.
I'll trade you the ballet bun for a dose of that.
And see, that's the reason why my 8-year-old daughter has made her list of why boys act weird around girls.
Oh, yeah.
Because she is starting to figure out at 8 years old the whole thing about why boys start to get nervous and start to do weird things, and she's made a list of all the things that she's learned. I'm
you
so
have that list handy.
I mean,
I think we need to read Callie's list.
Oh, no, I don't think she'd like that very much.
She wouldn't like that. That was pretty funny.
Like that. But it is very funny, and I think it's really, really clear that she's getting that boys start to get a little nervous and act a little different, and it's very, very funny that she's figuring it out so soon. And some of the things she's figured out, she went to her dad and started talking about it, and he was like, huh?
Shocked.
He was totally blown away. Number one, he was blown away that she's even thinking about it, and number two, she gets it so early. And, you know, she and I were laughing because there's so many things about him that she's starting to figure out, too, when she's and we have this great conversation. Yes, Daddy's a boy.
That is cute.
Funny. But back to the ballet thing. Yeah, there is a whole, like, there's a ballet look.
Yeah.
And I can remember not fitting that part. Speaking of not fitting a part, because I was a gymnast forever. And when you're a gymnast and a competitive gymnast, they make you basically take ballet. And, you know, that to give you some grace on the floor exercise and so forth. And I remember the lady looking at me and just saying to me, not a ballerina. And I'm like, oh, no. I was so heavy on my feet. Just not that, I just didn't have that look, I guess. But, yeah, that ballet bun, I remember, like, no, I want pigtails. I'm a gymnast. I need ribbons and barrettes and pigtails and stuff. I do not want that ballet bun. And,
I was wicked tall and much bigger boned and bigger than most kids my age when I was her age. And so when I did ballet, oh, my God, I just gave up, and I just started doing the can-can.
I just started doing my own thing. A gymnast, heavier, you know, just real muscular and chunkier kind of from gymnastics, not that thin ballerina, light, thin-boned look.
Right.
And, yeah, no.
Right.
But
so
she's got everything in her, though. She's a singer and a dancer, and she's going to, what's Callie going to be in next? She's in the, in a play or musical.
Oh, she's
going to
be in the Nutcracker. Yeah, she's going to be a page in the Nutcracker. I'm so proud of her. She's so excited.
That's nice.
Yeah, I'm right. I just love it that she enjoys it so much, and it does. It gives kids such great skills and confidence and discipline. And she's very fortunate that we have a great ballet studio near here, a dance studio that I very much like. I like how they treat the kids, and I know there's a lot of stuff out there. People are worried about kids and the influence of the dances that they're learning in their dance studios. And I really like that this company is very careful about that. And they don't do that. They're, you know, I don't have to worry about my kid being on YouTube wearing a really weird outfit that's way above her age. I think that's really, I value that. I think that's good. But that said, the whole Katy Perry thing and being kicked off Sesame Street. Did you hear about that?
Did you see that Saturday Night Live skit?
Oh, I loved it. I thought that was hysterical.
I mean, too.
Oh, my God. Britney Spears was a Mickey Mouse or whatever they call it, Mouseketeer. Yeah, you know, and it's like Katy Perry, and I totally respect what Sesame Street did because they listened to their listeners, their viewers. But and at the same time, it's like, oh, my God, that, you know.
That outfit she had on Saturday Night Live. Did you see that whole skit?
Oh, God, that was so funny. That was so funny. It really was.
They are really smart over there. Talk about a stroke of comic luck.
Oh, yeah.
To have her
appearing
on the show at that time and having that have happened and everything.
They have some really, really lucky streaks going on. I mean, they had the whole Sarah Palin, I could see Russia from my house. I mean, they just had gifts handed to them, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, how could you not do that? And, you know, no offense to Sarah Palin, but come on, that is just fodder. If I said something like that, I would expect someone to do that. Just like saying, you know, admitting that I DVR'd G.B. Sweeney on Cutting Edge. That I expect to be made fun of, you know?
Yeah, I was trying to figure out who my celebrity husband is.
Yeah, who's your celebrity crush? Oh, you just said, you said John Cusack.
I think it, can I have two?
Of course, I've got more than one.
I think I need two celebrity husbands. I think I'd have to go with Ewan McGregor, too. You know who that is?
McGregor.
You know
the guy,
the Star Wars guy and the Mulan Rouge
guy? Oh, yeah.
I love him.
Yep.
Before I got on the radio, I was talking to Peter going, I wonder who my celebrity husband is. And he said, you and McGregor. I was like, all right, I forgot, yeah.
All right. Well, you know who my other one is, too.
I don't.
Oh, God, yes. I've told you so many times. Let me give you a hint. High School Musical.
I don't know. Who? I can't remember.
Oh, Zac Efron.
Oh, duh. Yeah. Yeah, you got issues.
Yeah. SoundCloud. He won my heart when he did a wonderful movie, Charlie SoundCloud. You know, he did a great, beautiful movie. Of course,
you need to appear on Glee as the D.B. Sweeney's stalker.
Oh, God, yeah. Okay, sure.
Something. They need to write you a part in Glee. Tie it all in somehow.
Well, I can sing, but, you know, that's about
it. You can sing really well, actually. Okay,
yeah.
We got to find out who Sandra's celebrity husband is.
Yep.
Who is it?
I've always loved Robbie Benson. He's the only one from way back when.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good one.
He
I wonder where he
one.
Is.
I just saw him.
I just saw him the other night. He's on TV now.
Oh, really?
Is he still hot?
Yeah, he's awesome. He's an excellent actor, too. He really
oh, my
is.
Gosh, yes, he is.
He really is.
Yes,
he's
he is.
Very talented. Nope, I saw
mean,
him on TV
you have,
the other
you guys
night.
Ever seen The Death of Richie?
Yep.
Yep, he's
that
in that
I
one.
Have not seen, no.
It's powerful, powerful.
Mm-hmm. What's it about?
It's about a son and a father that just having a really bad father and son relationship, and he has a lot of problems, and the family didn't notice until the very end, and the father winds up killing him. But
oh, wow.
You have to see the movie to understand why
mm-hmm.
it happened.
Okay.
It's really sad, so, you know.
No.
That does
you know.
Sound kind of sad. We have to move into something much more happy than that.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Can we talk, you know, I think we should just completely shift gears. Not talk
okay.
about movies and talk about pasta sauce.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that random?
Oh, those pictures that you took.
No, not about me, though. About the pasta. I think we're gonna give Dalamore a plug because
yeah,
they've been
good
really
idea.
Good for it. So we're gonna actually do like an impromptu commercial for Dalamore right here, right now. What do you think?
Okay. You start.
All right. So, many moons ago, no, I'm just kidding. In 2004, when we moved here, we, from California, we missed our pasta sauce back in California. And we were in Hannaford's, and we were looking around and couldn't find quite what we were looking for. So we picked up this jar of Dalamore pasta sauce, and it goes back really that far. And the best ever you hadn't even started, wasn't even a thought, nothing. And, you know, we've been just using Dalamore pasta sauce for quite some time. So Best Ever You began, and our first Best Ever You Blue Ribbon Award that I ever gave out was to Dalamore pasta sauce for the best pasta sauce. And I, to even test it, to give it the award, I put Peter's mom's homemade sauce and Dalamore next to each other, and we had a blind taste test in our family. Nobody could tell the difference.
Oh, wow. Now that is
good.
Yeah,
because
he's
amazing.
A Garino, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You passed that blind test. That's pretty darn good.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh,
and
definitely.
So fast forward to 2010, and we, you know, we've been talking to Dalamore a little bit more about the magazine and, you know, the awards and, you know, their website and things like that. And we just did an ad. It'll come out with Best Ever You magazine about October 5th or 6th. And so they sponsored the magazine. And so we did an ad. And instead of hiring a professional photographer, my husband took the pictures.
Oh, I wondered who took those pictures.
Yeah, you know, so they're not, you know, all professional. There's no lighting kit and all that stuff. And they might look like we took them. But there's some heart behind it, at least. But if when you deal with the folks at Dalamore, they're just, it's a family-run business. It's three brothers. And they're just absolutely lovely. Lovely.
Okay.
They're in Vermont. And,
are they?
You can order... Yeah, they're right in Vermont where you're, I thought this would be right up your alley, Miss Vermont.
Yeah.
And, yes, Dalamore.com, Dellamore.com. And Frank Dalamore is the guy I always talk to there. And just very lovely. You can order pasta right online from their website.
Oh, that's good to
that's
know.
That's my little
okay.
commercial for Dalamore.
Well, where in Vermont are they?
Oh, now you're going to ask me where in Vermont. I don't know Vermont. Here, okay, hold on 1 second. I'll pull that up. You guys talk. Hang on. Well, yes. It is a
talk about
well candy, or let's talk about our favorite candy next. I don't know what to talk about. This is random.
Oh, chocolate. Yeah, I wonder. All right, chocolate. Is anyone else a chocolate-holic?
Oh, my God,
oh,
I love chocolate.
Never.
Never? No. Never?
Kidding.
Yeah.
Like the biggest chocolate-holic that exists.
Callie asked me one day, Mommy, what would life be like if there were no more chocolate? I'm thinking,
oh, boy.
Oh, my God. That's really
it would
a
be over.
Profound question.
No,
I know.
No, that would be, oof. I think people will go nuts. Oh, yes, I do. I know a lot of people that love chocolate, and I'm one of them.
Mm.
So I know I have to have my chocolate.
Yeah, I do, too. I usually have, you know, with the main cookie company and everything, I usually have my hand in a bag of chocolate chips, which I've stopped. I am proud to say I am an on-and-off-again chocolate chip-aholic.
Oh, yeah.
And there are days where I'll stick my whole head in the bag of chocolate chips and days where I won't.
Oh,
I am 2 weeks
You know what you could talk about, Elizabeth, if you have time, about your allergic reactions to nuts or all kinds of nuts that you talked about.
That ties into chocolate, but hang on 1 second. I'm going to pronounce this name wrong because when you are from the Midwest, anything that ends and looks like Chester is not on the East Coast. Like
right.
Worcester, Massachusetts
yep.
is Worcester. I don't know who made that up, but whatever. So
yep.
this looks to me, my Midwest eyes see this as Colchester.
Oh, it's Colchester. It is Colchester.
Oh, it is pronounced Colchester.
Oh, yeah. That's not far from where I grew. I grew up right near there. I know exactly where Colchester is. Oh,
yeah.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah, so they're great. They've been in business. I don't know if they've been in business this long, but it says a family tradition since 1895.
Gee, now I wonder when someone's going to invent chocolate pasta.
Mm. Oh.
Wouldn't that be a combo,
I could do that.
Huh?
Well, you know, you do like my kids do. They take the pasta and they pour it over it. Like they pour syrup over their pasta.
Yep.
Ugh. Ugh. Disgusting. So you could take like Hershey's syrup and pour it over pasta.
Now that's a new idea. Okay.
It's disgusting. But
that is totally disgusting.
And then you could add some chocolate chips. And then a jar of Delamore to top it off. And there you go. Dinner. Third.
That's Colchester special.
If 7-year-olds could cook.
Oh, I know. Oh, my God. That's for sure. Yeah, they'd live on cheese.
Yeah. Mine live on I can't tell you all the grocery crap that we buy, but there's lots of graham crackers and Nilla wafers going on in this house still.
Mm.
Cheese, though, yeah. Frozen pizza.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Thank God for frozen pizza. Oh, that has saved me many an evening. Do you guys go through the same thing? I don't know, Sandra, if you're married, but do you go through the same at the end of the day? Who's making dinner? What are we having for dinner? What's for dinner? And then it's I just love the people that are so well organized that they have their meals planned ahead of time, and I've been fantasizing to do that for about 20 years now, and you know, haven't quite gotten there.
No, there are weeks when I can be that organized.
Yeah.
And I could be that organized, however, it never stays that organized.
Yeah.
You can start that week with the best of intentions. You know, we're going to have Sloppy Joe's on Monday. On Tuesday, we're going to have baked chicken. Wednesday, we're going to have sandwich night. Thursday's pasta night, and Friday, we're eating out.
Yep.
Yeah, no. Soccer, somebody's sick, baseball.
Yep.
You know, the cat got out. I've never seen such chaos in my life. It never, ever, ever goes that way. That is, no. So I just kind of grocery shop. And load up on stuff and hope it all works. I don't know. We definitely could use somebody on the show who's a very good dinner planner.
Oh, not me. It ain't me. Believe me. Not going to be. But I do love to entertain, however. That I do really put a lot of thought into. My Christmas parties are pretty special.
Are
They're
they?
Very fun. Yeah, I do the Martha Stewart thing. I really
do. Lord.
I put it all out there, and I have nice, everything looks perfect. And for one night out of the whole year, I actually really do it right.
That sounds
but
kind of fun, actually.
Yeah, it is fun. I really enjoy doing that. That's fun. I would that on than something like a small gathering. You know, I forget that. But I love to do a big spread. That's fun.
Yeah. This house here in Maine isn't really one to be able to entertain in. It's so boxy. Like our house in California was more open floor plan.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have that? I mean, do you have a party at your house?
Yeah, I do. I used to have one for the work I did. But now I haven't had one in a while. But, yeah, I have a pretty open floor plan. Yeah, it's really wide open. And we just kind of gather around in both the living room and the porch and the dining room. But you know what? I don't know about anybody else, but every party I've ever had, everybody stays in the kitchen.
That's my point. Yeah, that's where I was going with it. Is our kitchen it's big enough, but not for the people that just like to sit in the kitchen.
Why do people like to sit in the kitchen? That
I don't know.
Always dumbfounded me. People will not move out of the kitchen. What is that?
Food.
Yeah,
food.
But
what are you going to bring out of the oven next?
Food's everywhere. It's almost like a security blanket. It's like they don't want to leave the security of the kitchen and go out and meet other people or something. I don't know. I've always been dumbfounded by that. Why does everybody want to hang in the kitchen?
Yeah, the kids don't. When you have a party with the kids everywhere, they run around crazy by the end of the night at your house.
Maybe it's a conversation starter. About the food.
Maybe the next party you have, Katie.
Yeah.
You should hand out numbers for each room and make people stay there, and then they can rotate.
Or I could like corner off the kitchen and say, "Not allowed in the kitchen. Get your butt out in the living room." Yeah, you know, it's always driven me nuts. I've always been dumbfounded by that because
just serve really crappy food. Everybody else stay in the other room.
Nobody stays in the kitchen. Yeah, that's a really good idea. I'll leave all that cruddy food in the kitchen. But maybe if I just turn the lights out, we think they get the hint.
I don't know. Yeah, that's funny.
Oh, God. You know what? I just thought of this. The booze is in the kitchen. Maybe I should move the beverage out of the kitchen. That'll move everybody. That'll probably do it.
Yeah.
That might have something.
Yeah, I don't know. That is, I noticed that, though, too. Wherever you put that snack tray is where people hover.
Yeah.
The closest thing, though, I had this party, I don't know when it was, but the double dippers.
Oh, yes.
That's
oh,
still
God,
really
yeah.
gross.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Double dipping happens all the time.
You know, we've gone from B.B. Sweeney to double dipping.
I know. Well, you know,
whatever. But, yeah, that double dipping stuff.
Do you see somebody double dipping? Do you say something?
No, because they're not aware they're a double dipper.
So you think
notice
they do
that?
It? They
double
don't.
Dippers are never aware of themselves that they are.
Oh wow! No, but everybody else is aware of them.
Oh yeah, especially the double dipper who's got a cold or.
Oh.
How do you
God,
handle
that's...
a double dipper? I think we need, like, Sue on the show to tell us how to handle double dippers. Sue Jake.
Yes. Let's talk about the fact that Sue Jakes is coming on and who she is. She's one of our upcoming guests.
Yeah, she's the Civility CEO. Civility CEO. I need to pronounce that right, huh? Civility
yeah,
you got to
get that word down.
Yeah, Civility CEO Sue Jakes will be on the show. In a few weeks, next week, we have Shannon Devine, Mrs. International, coming up.
Oh, I can't wait to talk to her.
Oh,
she has
I love
such
her.
An interesting life. My
Isn't
gosh,
she
was just voted Mrs. International. That is quite an honor.
Yeah, and she was Mrs. United States before that in 2006. And she's, you know, she's not a pageant Patty either. You know, you get this impression of all these women in pageants, and you know, there's a stigma that goes with it. She's not like that at all. She uses the pageants to springboard her platforms, which,
yeah,
you know, adoption and so forth. She's a force to be reckoned with, that one.
Yep, she is really a wonderful woman. I wrote an article with her and about adoption, and really, really enjoyed getting to know her. She's very wise. She's been through a lot, and you're right. She uses her pageants to change the world. She's making a real difference, and
she's
just a lovely woman.
I can remember being in Vegas in 2006, and I represented Maine, and I'm just me. I'm just you know, bring a gown, bring a swimsuit. I'll, you know, do what I'm going to do, and just be me. I could not go out there and pretend I was anybody else but me. So I was not going to be emaciated and all this stuff, just totally me. And I'm standing. They do a huge swimsuit shot in the middle of the New Orleans pool court, and all the pageant contestants go in the pool. And, I mean, it was bikini after bikini after bikini. And I sit there going, wow, I am the grandma of this group by far, for one. Number two, I've had 4 kids and I have stretch marks, so there's no way in heck I'm getting in a bikini. Thighs, you know, nothing, no way. So there I am in the middle of this 100-degree day in nylons and a swim dress with heels. And, I mean, I've got blue marks up my leg. You know, it ain't a pretty picture after 4 kids. And it's not horrible, but not pageant, you know, spray-tanned body perfection by any stretch of the means. And, I mean, I'm probably 10 years older than most of the people, too. And was one of the people with, I'm coming up with every excuse, but basically I'm not getting in a bikini in the public ever. And up comes Shannon next to me, and it was one of those, I got to make this girl feel good moments, you know. Sweet as pie. I mean, she is in dental floss, basically. I mean, it is this white number. It wraps around politely. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
it was white, and it was like a piece of cloth here, a piece of cloth here, a piece of cloth that, you know, like maybe 5 pieces of cloth that covered her body to perfection, her body is, you know. And I look up, I'm like, oh, my God, you're like 6'2". You know, I'm just sitting there going, oh, my God. And we took this picture together, and it's me in a swim dress and her in, I don't know what that was, but my left toe wouldn't go in it. And it's still to this day one of my favorite photos from that experience. That's how cool Shannon is, though.
Yeah, she's very approachable. She's a love.
Yeah. Just completely
normal. Although I got to admit, it would be really uncomfortable to be standing next to her in a picture.
That's awful.
Good for you. Good for you.
I get it, though. I'm like, I'm standing next to you because you're going to win. That's what I said to her. She remembers that. It was cute. I'm like, I don't care what I'm in. Somebody give me the trench coat. But I'm going to stand next to you because you're going to win. So she's coming on to the show next week. And then after that, we have Sue Jakes, and she can tell us what double dipping really means, although you must have some psychology behind double dipping.
Well, it depends. You know, there's a double dipper that is subtle.
You got 1 minute, by the way.
Okay. All right. There's the double dipper that's subtle. Now, that might tell us somebody who is secretly wanting to be a rebel and wanting to break the rules. And then there's the double dipper that doesn't give a flip, who just kind of sucks it up. And like this guy at our wedding, oh, my God, this guy at our wedding, he ate everything, just like.
Is that to lick the cracker and dip it back to even?
Oh, yeah. He was like, I swear to God, he ate 20% of the food at our reception. And
yeah, there's people that
are
like, take food out of your hand and lick it and give it back
and,
to you.
And he was like a double dipper that could care less, who just really didn't know much about didn't care what other people think. So, you know, who knows? There's all kinds of double dipping. But, yeah.
BB Sweeney isn't one. He's
no,
not a double dipper, I know.
Well, anyway, I am looking forward to when we do get to speak to DB. No, I started to call him double dipping. DB Sweeney. And by then, hey, we will have had the whole interview already done, and so when he joins us, it'll be a piece of cake, right?
We could go back to this interview and, like, put clips in of him talking. No, I don't know. But, yeah, well, this was fun anyway. We certainly improvised for 1 hour.
Yeah, and, you know, it's good experience, and hopefully we didn't bore people to death. But, hey, this is what you do when your guest doesn't show up.
Sandra, did we bore you to death?
No, very interesting. That's why I'm still on the phone.
All right. Well, thank you for being with us today.
No problem.
It was fun interviewing you. We
nice
have 10 seconds. So, Katie, say your thing. Go, go, go. Hurry.
All right, everybody. Have a best ever day.
Have a best ever day. All right, we'll
best
talk to you next
day.
Week.
Bye.